Hello, this is Priya, reading Winthrop Sun Transcript. Small town, big lights. Winthrop shines bright for the holiday season. Special Dir Transcript. The seaside town of Winthrop sparkled with holiday magic this past weekend as the community came together for the Winthrop Chamber of Commerce 34th Annual Holiday Lighting Celebration, proudly themed Small Town, Big Lights. With a huge turnout from residents and visitors, the event showcased the town's beloved traditions, seaside charm, and strong community spirit. The celebration took place on November 28 in French Square, a town center where brilliant lights illuminated the heart of town, reflecting the warmth and togetherness that make Winthrop truly special during the holiday season. This year's theme, Small Town Big Lights, captured everything we love about Winthrop, said Diana Eliberti, executive director. We may be small seaside community, but our traditions and the way we support one another shine brighter than ever. This year, we worked to design a tree lighting that would maximize French Square, celebrate Winthrop, and create a memorable landscape for all, said Mark Shepledin, president of the Winthrop Chamber of Commerce. We look forward to building on this momentum and making next year's event even better. Event highlights included a grand lighting ceremony with a lively community countdown to lighting the Christmas tree and surrounding trees, free horse and buggy rides that delighted families throughout the evening, live performances by local dancer, athletes and Victorian carolers, popcorn and hot chocolate giveaways, spreading warmth and cheer, family-friendly activities and festive photo spots sprinkled throughout the venue, a joyful Santa's arrival with treats for children and free family photos. Local vendors and favorites offering seasonal goods, warm drinks and sweet treats. The holiday festivities continued throughout the weekend with a strong show of support for Winthrop's local businesses during Small Business Saturday. Shoppers enjoyed special tours of shops, promotions, decorated storefronts and popular Jolly Trolley shopping event, which transported families and visitors around town to explore participating stores and restaurants. The Winthrop Chamber of Commerce extends a heartfelt thank you to everyone who made the 34th year of this cherished celebration possible, especially our platinum sponsor, the Winthrop Foundation, whose generosity helped bring the spirit of Small Town Big Lights to life. Other event sponsors were Sweats Liquors, Twist and Shake, Webster Federal Credit Union, Bright Beginnings, Rockland Trust, LED Mark Boston, Mr. Freeze Havoc, Boyd and Turner Insurance, and Lenten Residential. Additional thanks go out to all the volunteers and the entire community for their energy, enthusiasm, and support. For information on events and membership, please visit www.winthropchamber.com. Now to the next. Second Annual Festival of Wreaths and Holiday Crafts Fair, December 14. The International Order of Odd Fellows, IOOF, Zenith Lodge No. 42 at 196 Winthrop Street invites the community to celebrate the season at their Second Annual Festival of Wreaths and Holiday Craft Fair. Starting November 15th and running through December 14th, every Saturday and Sunday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., the Zenith Lodge will be open for visitors to purchase raffle tickets for the festive display of one-of-a-kind wreaths created and donated by local artists, non-profits, businesses and friends. A light menu of delicious hot soups and cider will be available to enjoy. This year's proceeds will benefit two Winthrop High School students chosen to represent the town in the IOF Pilgrimage for Youth program, a life-changing journey of learning and friendship. The festival concludes with a holiday craft fair on Sunday, December 14th, featuring a special visit from Santa, who will be giving gifts to the children from 2 to 4 p.m. The wreath raffle drawing will be held at the end of the fair. Festival of Wreaths is our way of sharing cheer and supporting Winthrop's future, said Sandra Zonik-Siff, event organizer. Each wreath represents hope and unity, tells a story, and together we all help our students begin their own. Wreaths can be submitted during the month of October and crafter tables are $1.25. For more details on donating a wreath, signing up as a crafter or volunteering, please contact Sandra at 617-407-3438. The Old Fellows Zenith Lodge thanks the Winthrop community for their support. Now to the next. town misses out on state tree grant by Adam Swift. The town missed out on a recent $100,000 cool corridors grant from the state's Division of Conservation Services and Executive Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs. According to Hilary Dimino, the state office manager of the tree planting program, Winthrop ranked 8 out of 18 applicants for the grant, but did not receive it because the town is not in compliance with the MBTA 3A Communities Act. In a letter to Assistant Town Manager Cheryl McCormick, Dimino stated the town likely would have received the grant if it was in compliance with the state law. If you would like to reapply for the Cooling Corridors Grant Program in the coming fiscal year, please ensure that your community is in compliance with MBTA Communities Law, Dimino stated in the letter. The Healy-Driscoll administration recently announced $632,000 in grants from the Cooling Corridors program, which focuses on planting trees in identified hotspots along popular walking routes and in environmental justice neighborhoods across Massachusetts. Winthrop Tree Warden Tom Durdrian said he is disappointed in Winthrop losing out on the grant. The grant would have allowed the town to purchase a much-needed mobile watering tank to help our young trees survive summer dry spells and, of course, many, many more young trees, Durdrian said. The tree warden explained that there is no money left for a spring planting, so the town will have to look at other ways to raise money. He said the Cool Corridors grant is meant to help communities grow trees to provide shade in an ever-hotter environment to cool areas frequented by people vulnerable to heat radiating off hot black asphalt. In addition to this public health benefit, trees moderate rain runoff during sudden storms and take up groundwater with their roots and evaporate into the air through their leaves, easing the stress on the town's drainage system, Durdrian said. Trees are also beautiful and thus enhance property values in the town as well as contributing to a higher quality of life, he stated. The town has been losing total tree cover for many years as big old trees with large shading canopies reach the end of their lives and have to be removed. A tree with a 36 diameter is replaced by one with an inch and a half diameter. In 60 years, it will match the tree it replaced. Durdrian continued, but every little tree planted will not necessarily live to be fully developed, so many more trees need to be planted than are removed. Winthrop has many magnificent century-old trees. Durdrian said street trees are now living in a harsher wet world than the one that the big old tree grew up in. The trees planted 100 years ago did not face such hot, dry summers, so much pavement, so much air pollution. There was no air port then, as well as road salt and damage from the hugely increased auto and truck traffic, he said. Many of our trees suffer from motor vehicle strikes to their trunks and large trucks hitting their limbs on the street side. Our trees will require a great deal of tender care. Now to the next. Town Council accepting letters of interest for Precinct 6 seat. Staff report. The town council is accepting letters of interest to fill out the remaining term of Precinct 6 councillor John Darrows. Darrows resigned from his position after 2 years on the council last month. As in the past, we will ask for letters of interest from anybody, the requirement being that you just reside in Precinct 6, said council president Jim Lettery at last week's council meeting. We will be accepting letters of interest. You can address them to town clerk Dennis Quist or myself on the council. The council will be accepting the applications for approximately the next 2 weeks, according to Lettery. During the council's second scheduled meeting of the new year on January 20, Lettery said it will likely be reviewing and vetting the potential candidates with a possible vote on either that day or at a meeting in late January or early February. More information on the process can be found on the town council section of the town website, including an article highlighting the expectations of a town councillor. Those expectations include regular meeting dates and subcommittee expectations and the council attendance policy. Councillors are expected to gain a very good working knowledge about the budget and are expected to attend several of the Finance Commission meetings concerning the budget, the expectations letter states. Darrow's term expires in January of 2028. Now to the next. Mary Lou Hyten pointed to Housing Authority, the staff report. The Town Council and the Housing Authority unanimously approved the reappointment of Mary Lou Hyten as a tenants of representative to the Winthrop Housing Authority at a joint meeting last week. She's been a great member of the tenants board for many years and on the regular housing board as the representative of the tenants group, said Housing Authority member Peter Gill. Housing Authority Director Peg Lyons noted that the local tenants association is required by the state when a company has a housing authority. It's composed of anybody who lives in a public housing unit. There's a board that meets and has events monthly. And Mary Lou has been active on this board for at least 15 years that I am aware of, setting up the events, setting up the meetings, and listening to the tenants, said Lyons. She was nominated and voted unanimously by the tenants of the Winthrop Housing Authority for staying on as the board member representative, and I would endorse that as well. Council President Jim Lettery said the council has heard nothing but fantastic things about Hyten and thanked her for wanting to continue her service on the Housing Authority. Now to the next. Council approves transfer for stormwater design funds by Adam Swift. The Town Council approved a $58,000 transfer from the capital stabilization account for engineering costs for stormwater system design in the Tilestone, Girdlestone and Pico area at last week's meeting. This $58,000 is to complete the drainage design for the Pico, Girdlestone, Tilestone project, said Public Works Director Steve Keller. It will get us through final design and permitting. In order to get through the permitting piece, we will still need to secure an easement, and we are actively working on that. We have started the discussions. Council President Jim Lettery asked if the funding would get the project through to final design review next spring. Kala said that would likely take place at the end of May. This will take us for the storm water for Tilestone, Girdlestone and Pico. This does not include the seawall, which we have to handle for Pico, said Lettery. Once the design piece of the storm water project is complete for the area, Kala said the potential construction would take about a year. However, Kala noted the construction won't be starting in May unless the town gets funding. He said there won't be a final construction cost estimate until the design is complete, but estimated the cost at around $4 million to $4.5 million. As far as the permitting piece, that is the real unknown it depends upon. Can't even start the permitting piece until the case easement is secured, said Kala. We are hoping for May 30. Lettery said the town is currently in discussion for the easement between the Yacht Club and Woodside. Celeste Ribeiro Hewitt of the town's Climate Commission said the commission will likely hold a summit to not only address the Pico, Girdlestone, Tilestone area, but also other hotspots and initiatives in the town. Getting this in bits and pieces, it's hard to string together, so it would be important to understand for most folks this is the engineering piece and we have the funds earmarked and where the rest of the funds are being earmarked from, she said. It would be great if we could have a full overview and discussion. Now to the next. Community Credit Union will merge with Rockland Federal Credit Union by Carrie Schumann. Community Credit Union, CCEU, which has a branch office in Lynn, will be merging with Rockland Federal Credit Union in March 2026, pending approval by the members of the credit union. The combined credit union will have nearly $3.6 billion in assets, operate as a division of Rockland FCU, and will serve more than 200,000 members across 12 Massachusetts branches. A presence in Lynn since 1955. Thomas DeMakis, General Counsel for Community Credit Union and son of CCU founder Charles DeMakis, said the long-standing financial institution dates to 1955, when it was founded by a group of Greek-American leaders in the community. In 1969, after it had been in existence for 14 years, they changed the name from the Greek Community Credit Union to the Community Credit Union of Lynn, said DeMakis, and that's where it's been ever since. DeMakis said there was a Lynn branch for 50 years, but in 2005, Community Credit Union opened a branch in Peabody, and in 2015, a branch was opened in Somerville. This year was the 70th anniversary of the founding of the credit union. DeMakis said there is a challenging environment that exists today for smaller credit unions because there are a lot of regulations, compliance requirements, and it takes a lot of money to make sure the credit union is in compliance, and because of that, it limits the products and services we can offer the members. Noting CCU's great legacy in the city of Lynn and on the North Shore, Demakis said the board has been considering a merger for the last 2 or 3 years after evaluating what we can do to strengthen the credit union so we can continue to do the good work that it's done and preserve its legacy and do an even better job for its member than it can as a small independent credit union. The board decided a merger would be the best thing to do, said Demakis. CCU officials reached out to other credit unions in Massachusetts and half a dozen credit unions showed serious interest in a merger. Ultimately, the board voted unanimously to merge with Rockland Federal Credit Union, which has 9 branch offices on the South Shore, said Demakis. They, RFCU, were interested in merging with us because they wanted to establish a presence on the North Shore and they love what we do in the community and that we serve low-income and middle-income communities. That's what they do and they would like to expand that footprint. We really share a lot of the same values, so we are really excited about this merger. Ballots will be going out this week to all the members of CCU so they can vote on the merger. Demakis and CCU President and CEO Dr. Nick Serantopoulos encourage all the members to vote in favor of the merger. Serantopoulos articulates about the ideal partnership for CCU. Serantopoulos, who was honored as a Boston North CEO Group's 2025 Member of the Year, said, "We had discussions with several credit unions because we wanted to find who would be the ideal partner for us because it's a partnership when you join forces and you combine your assets." Serantopoulos said there were 2 major considerations in selecting a merger partner: the business aspect, which involved markets, products and financials, and the cultural fit that we share the same values and the same focus, especially when it comes to community banking like serving families and small businesses, which has been our niche, especially immigrant-owned businesses. So it was great to see eye to eye and have a common vision because that gave us a lot of comfort that is the best look for us, added Serantopoulos. A credit union is owned by its members and eventually the members vote on the decision to merge because the credit union is not ours. It's theirs. It's the members we serve. Reflecting on Community Credit Union's 70-year history and its excellent reputation, Demakis called proudly, "My father had account number 1 at the credit union." The late founder Charles Demakis' photo is displayed prominently on the wall at Community Credit Union, noted Dr. Serantopoulos. Now to the next. The sounds of Christmas ring once more this Sunday in Revere. Music director Robert Lehman and the North Shore Philharmonic Orchestra return to St. Anthony's Church this Sunday, December 14, for the annual Robert A. Mara Memorial Sounds of Christmas concert. The concert gets underway at 4 p.m. This year marked 50th anniversary of the Sounds of Christmas, the first of which was held December 14, 1975, at the then new Revere High School Auditorium, sponsored by the Revere Bicentennial Commission. The concert was played the following year in St. Anthony's Church, said NSPO President and Concert Co-Chair Robert Mara Jr. So next year we will mark another 50th anniversary. For this year, to commemorate the first concert, we plan to have Revere Bicentennial Commission Chairman Fred Senella introduce the orchestra. As has been the tradition since 1991, admission to the concert is free, but everyone attending the concert is asked to bring a generous donation of non-perishable food to benefit the Revere Food Pantry. This year's concert is principally sponsored by Bocchino Insurance Agency, Massport, Neighbor Health, Xfinity, A Sound Broadband, and Action and Emergency Services. North Shore Philharmonic Orchestra President and Concert Co-Chair Dom Bocchino emphasized the food drive that is associated with the concert. "Of course, we all love the music and the holiday feeling that comes with the concert, but the food drive makes it special because it exemplifies the true meaning of the holidays, the sense of sharing and helping others," he said. "This is the largest single event that benefits the Revere Food Pantry, and it is so important to help our neighbors. It really increased the value of the sponsorships. Last year, nearly 3 tons of food was delivered to the Revere Food Pantry the day after the concert." The tradition began in 1975 when North Shore Philharmonic Orchestra first came to play a holiday concert at Revere High School as part of the beginning of Revere's celebration of the nation's bicentennial year 1976. The concert was a success right from the start, said Mara. But I wonder whether anyone imagined it would be such a traditional part of Rivers' holiday season 50 years later. Continuing a tradition that started in 2015, River High School senior Alana Turnkey narrate an original essay as a part of the concert program. It's a chance to have a young person's voice deliver a meaningful message, said Mara. And it ties River High to the concert, something my father would appreciate. We are grateful to River High writing instructor Alison Casper for her cooperation in making this an annual part of the concert program. The concert is named in memory of violinist Robert A. Mara, a lifelong Revere resident and teacher at Revere High School, who was concertmaster of the orchestra for over 50 years before his death in 2002. He played his last Sounds of Christmas in 2001, and remember that was the year of 9/11. The concert was part of the healing process for everyone, the beginning of the holidays after a very difficult year. Vocalist Jean Denton will be the featured singer. What's Christmas music without singing? Mara asked. Jean has been part of this concert on several occasions. Most recently in 2021, when the concert resumed after COVID, cancelled it in 2020. We are glad to have her back this year. Mara emphasized the sponsor's role. Dom Bocchino joined up with the concert in 2005 as a principal sponsor and has served as an invaluable concert co-chair. Neighbor Health, formerly East Boston Neighborhood Health, and the Massport Charitable Giving Program have been with us for several years. Revere's cable TV providers Xfinity and Astound have been part of the concert for as long as I remember. Mike Zakaria at Action became part of the tradition more recently, and he provides the truck to transfer the donations to the food pantry. No words can adequately convey the appreciation I have for the sponsors, Mara said. Now to the next. CityPause, Digital Dog Training Resources by Penny and Ed Cherubino. We often remind our readers that the cold, wet weather of winter is a perfect time to reinforce your dog's training. Keep in mind that just as you get tired when you have to adapt to a new tech tool, adjust to a significant phone update, or take classes to learn a new skill, your dog is ready to rest after good training or retraining session. So add some training to your schedule for the winter months. Good training is ongoing. Dog training is really a matter of training yourself, and that should also be ongoing. Early in our dog days, we relied on books and training classes. Today, you can keep up with the latest research and adapt to new methods from experts with digital resources. While some of these have fees, others are free online or at your local library. Penny has taken a recommended dog training class on Canopy thanks to the Boston Public Library. Even an old dog guardian can learn new ways. We stay up to date with the latest training methods and ideas by subscribing to dog publications like the Whole Dog Journal. You can also follow Patricia McConnell, PhD, a certified applied animal behaviorist, CAAB, emeritus on the other end of the leash. YouTube and other video services have many offerings for those who want to refine their skills so they can work with their pup in new ways. However, as with all internet resources, you will find good and bad options. Positive training is the key. Positive training is the key. Good training is about positive reinforcement, not punishment. That means no devices like choke chains or shock collars. If you Google, where are shock collars banned? You will be shocked by the number of places where they are illegal and stunned by some of the punishments for using them. For example, Wikipedia notes that in the Netherlands, its use is subject to 20,000 euro fine and 3-year prison sentence. We highly recommend following renowned trainer Victoria Stillwell and the resources she offers on her site www.positively.com. She has gathered a roster of writers on the topic and even has a find a trainer box on her site in case you need an in-person option after exploring the digital world. What works for dogs? As you think about how you will approach any training with your dog, try to imagine yourself in the dog's position and think about the ways you can refine what you are saying and make what you want to happen clearer to the dog. Ask yourself if you would be able to figure out what you are asking if you didn't speak the language. Part of training yourself to train your dog is learning how dogs learn and what is important to them. Then be more specific and think about how a particular training method, reward, or hand signal will work for your dog. Make a list of the behaviors you want to reinforce and those you would like to add to your dog's life. These will not be the same for those living in a single family home as for those living in a dog-friendly condo or apartment building. As one of your former editors likes to say, you do you and personalize your training to your needs and those of the unique creature on the other end of your leash. Do you have a question or topic for City Paws? Email penny@bostonjest.com with your suggestion. Now to the next. MBTA celebrates 25th annual Fill a Bus with Gift program, special to the journal. The MBTA and Massachusetts Department of Transportation MassDOT celebrated the 25th annual Fill a Bus with Gifts program. Employees from both state transportation agencies donated a total of 2,746 toys this year, which will be donated to the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, the Boys and Girls Club of Boston, and Heading Home. Fill a Bus is entirely employee-led and represents the spirit of what we stand for as public servants, making people's life better, said Interim Secretary and MBTA Journal Manager Philip Ng. I want to thank the MBTA employees who organized this program, which is in its 25th year, as well as my colleagues at the T and MassDOT who showed generosity by donating gifts that filled our bus. I'm also grateful to our partners at the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, the Boys and Girls Club of Boston, and Heading Home for distributing these gifts to families every year. The MBTA's Fill a Bus with Gifts event is a special chance for employees to give back to the communities we work with year-round. Each holiday season, the Fill a Bus visits MBTA garages, RMV locations, MassDOT offices, and other sites to engage as many people as possible, said MBTA Graphics Manager David Wood, who has organized the Fill a Bus with Gifts event for the past 8 years. Each year, I am proud to see so many of my transportation colleagues get involved. The generosity showed by my peers brings a lot of joy to countless families during the holiday. This year, MBTA and MassDOT employees donated a record-breaking 2,746 gifts up from 2,651 in 2024 to their Fill a Bus partners at the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, the Boys and Girls Club of Boston, and Heading Home. Last year, MSPCC provided gifts to almost 1,000 children, said MSPCC Director of Development Melanie S. Lima. The presents donated through the MBTA and MassDOT Fill a Bus program are far more than toys. They offer moments of joy and help children feel valued and included. Because most MSPCC families live in poverty, parents often tell us they want to create a happy holiday for the children, but financial strains makes that difficult and stressful. The generosity of the Fill a Bus programs helps MSPCC ease some of that burden and ensure that hundreds of children experience a brighter, more joyful holiday season. The Yorkie Club of Roxbury is proud to be part of with the MBTA once again for the Fill a Bus Toy Drive, said Corey, Managing Executive Director, Yorkie's Boys and Girls Club of Roxbury. As we celebrate our 115th anniversary, this effort reflects exactly who we are at our core. A community that shows up for young MBTA and families, the MBTA support helps us bring joy to hundreds of children, aged 6 and to 12, during the holiday. And we are grateful to stand together in service of our neighborhoods as we continue saving the world one smile at a time. Partnering with the MBTA and MassDOT via the Fill a Bus initiative has helped us bring a little joy, laughter, and fun to many of our families. What seems like a simple toy means so much more to our families. It represents a moment of normalcy, happiness, and hope, said Heading Home Chief Development Officer Karen Grant. Nothing beats seeing the smiles on the faces of kids, adults, and volunteers when the toys are dropped off at our shelters. Thank you to the MBTA and MassDOT and everyone who makes this possible. For more info, connect with the T on X @MBTA, Facebook @MBTA, Instagram @MBTA, Threads @MBTA, or TikTok @MBTA. This was Priya reading Winthrop Sun Transcript. Thank you for listening. Thank you.